Oh God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, our story begins in the dark. Even though we gather today in the bright light of a spring morning, we must remember that the story we tell today begins in the dark. Today we gather to remember this gospel story. We remember as our Jewish brothers and sisters are doing at Passover, not simply in an assent that this happened in the past, but that we are literally remembered into it, that we join and claim this as our story. We gather today, and with Mary and the disciples, we set off to, while it is still dark, we set off to the places where it is dark in our world, and we venture into the places where it is dark in our lives, in our souls. We need to know that it begins in the dark, because the truth is that we too gather in the dark, and we long for the resurrection light, because it is still dark. Dark in our world, which is constantly at war. A world where genocide not only takes place, but we are not surprised when the news tells us that one people is trying to kill another across the world. It's still dark in a world where 10,000 people will die of hunger today alone. Just a few of the huge part of our world who struggle daily with poverty, who have no access to basic drinking water and live hungry and ill. In this darkness, racism runs quieter but powerful fingers through every major institution, especially in our own city. And in parts of the world, it is still dark where LGBT people are rounded up in concentration camps decades after we have promised never again. It's still dark in a country where today 93 people will die from gun violence, more of them by taking their own lives than having them taken by another. And the truth is, we are overwhelmed by all that darkness, fighting amongst ourselves about how to even change any of it. So we try to give money and write letters and protest and volunteer and do our best to make a difference, but somewhere in us we think that it might not change the powers that are already present in systems, and that somehow hate will again cause more violence soon, and that there's little we can do to stop the suffering. So yeah, it's definitely dark. And we each bring darkness of our own that we carry within us, the darkness of the stories of our own families. This morning we hold together the darkness that I carry deep in my bones, and you carry the darkness of those who have gone before you too. We gather while it's still dark in our own souls too. While it was still dark that time we received that phone call, he didn't make it. This is the darkness of that diagnosis, the darkness of that struggling relationship that we had placed in so many hopes in and has left us feeling more alone than ever. This is the dark where there was not just one particular pain, but just the cloud of numbness that makes us wonder if there's any hope, any point to the struggle. This is the dark time that we wondered where the hell God was. And that is why our story begins in the dark today. Because that's where the stories of God always begin. That's where we always sit and wait and know something new must be coming. Because we are told in the very beginning of Scripture, the very beginning of the story of God, that it also began while it was still dark. We're told then in Genesis that darkness covered the whole earth, and then the Spirit of God sweeps over the darkness. Literally, the Spirit of God hovered over the darkness. And there in the darkness, God speaks. And there God begins to work and create this beautiful, amazing world we live in and the beautiful, amazing people from whom we come, who we are, all while it was still dark. Since the very beginning of our world, it's in the darkness where God has continued to move. And it was dark, the darkest of all darkness, in that cave where the body of Jesus laid. It was dark in that tomb the morning that he arose. And that is what John, our gospel writer, is telling us at the beginning of this story. He began his gospel also in the beginning, hearkening back to that original story of darkness. And now, while all the other gospel writers begin their resurrection stories after dawn, John still begins in the dark. He wants to tell us that something new is happening here, something we've never seen before. Because for the people of God, darkness is never hopeless. Darkness is the place that we wait and hold on to hope, because over and over and over throughout our stories, darkness is always the place God moves. Darkness is the place that a new thing begins. Darkness is the place that the light always eventually shines. For us, the darkness can be a place of the greatest hope because of what we celebrate on this Easter day. Again and again in our stories, in our souls, God is most powerfully present in our darkness. While it was still dark, John tells us at the beginning of his gospel that the light comes into the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. And so in the darkness of that morning, we are told Mary finds her way to the tomb. Can you imagine the darkness she must have felt in the wee hours of that morning? Having placed so much hope in following this man, Jesus, who offered a new way of life, the events of the last few days had changed everything suddenly. She had stayed by his side to the very end and watched this man, this friend, this teacher, suffer and be killed in an excruciating, cruel way. The promise that he had offered was gone, and she and other disciples had no idea what the future held. But she went anyway to tend to his body, to all that was left of him, and when she arrives, he's not there. In the cruelest act or mistake, someone has taken away literally the only thing that remained. While it was still dark, so dark that first Easter morning. And what Mary discovered that Easter morning was clearly not what she expected. Just as the light that shines in our darkness is never what we expect, not what we can even imagine. When Mary encounters Jesus, she thinks he is the gardener. He's not pristine or shining. He's not the glowing figure in waving white robes that seems to show up in most of our illustrations today. If she thinks he's the gardener, he's not only not pristine, he's not even actually clean. There's got to be dirt under his fingernails, his feet must have been muddy, and there's probably flecks of grass all over him. The resurrected Jesus is not even recognizable to one of his closest friends until he speaks her name. And so for us too, the resurrection, the light that shines in our darkness, will surprise us as well. We will never know how to expect that new life. We will not know what it will look like, and we might not even recognize it when we first meet it. Maybe the resurrection for us looks like a relationship given another shot after forgiveness. Maybe that new life comes when the secret kept in the darkness has come to light, but we realize that for the first time we can live without fear and be authentically, fully who we are. Perhaps resurrected life looks like the day-by-day journey of recovery from alcohol and substance abuse and the friends and family that walk with you. Maybe resurrected life is reconciliation with family members that you never thought was possible. Always messy and raw, but somehow new and beautiful too. Maybe resurrected life is the gradual healing of wounds and learning to trust where you thought you never could again. And new life might be the love that seeps into those wounds that will always be scars like Jesus bore, but new life that is the beginning of the slow work of healing. Whatever new life God brings into our darkness, it will always be something that we can't imagine. But what we can be sure of is that while it is still dark, God is working. Today we celebrate the resurrection that Mary discovered while it was still dark, and we also remember the resurrections that have taken place within us in our darkness. We remember today all those other times when it was still dark, when in our own deepest hurt and suffering we found some unstoppable joy that was stronger than the pain. While it was still dark, when someone walked into our darkness and was the light which gave us the hope to keep going, to kindle the flame in us again. And so today we gather while it is still dark because the light came into our darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. We gather because we've been touched by that light. That light is in us now and we cannot keep it here to ourselves. We must go to all the places where it is still dark, where the world is longing for that light. We are the ones who must carry the light into the places longing for the new life that we celebrate here today. Do you know that you are the light of the world? It is for the darkness that you were born. You were born with some gift to transform the tragedy and terror of our world today. You were born with gifts that can heal the pain of someone who lives alongside you now. You were born to venture into the darkness, to shine as the light where it is needed most. So do not be afraid of the dark, because while it is still dark, our story begins. While it is still dark, we have reason to hope. While it is still dark, a new light is shining, and the darkness will never overcome it. While it is still dark, a new story is being told. While it is still dark, God is hovering. While it is still dark, God is moving. While it is still dark, new life is awaking. While it is still dark, Jesus is rising from the tomb. While it is still dark, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.